Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now, let's all stop for a minute and think about what it would have been like to host the Olympics here in New York. WNYC reporter Fred Mogul has been reporting on how the five boroughs would have been transformed and whether maybe we won by losing out to London for these 2012 Summer Games. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Brian.
And listeners, call us up and tell us if you're happy or sad. Are you having Olympics envy? 212-433-WNYC. Or are you thinking there but for the grace of God as you watch the London Games? 212-433-9692. And let's start with a clip from the promotional video, which was produced when we were trying to win the Olympic Games back in 2008.
In 2012, athletes will sail in our ocean, compete in modern pentathlon along our beaches, shoot on a peninsula overlooking the water, bike and ride through our forests, and run through our parks. The excitement will spill out of the venues and into the city. Visitors will celebrate the games in New York's hundreds of diverse neighborhoods. Dance in the streets.
Dance in the streets. Urban nirvana, Fred. What do you think? From talking to people now, would we have been dancing in the streets?
Absolutely. It'd be like, you know, the scene in where Grand Central, you just everything comes to a stop and people break out waltzing and hip-hop here and there. Tough to know, obviously. New Yorkers are people of strong passions for and against just about everything. Arguably, ambivalence was one of the reasons they didn't win the Olympics, that there wasn't necessarily broad support for the Olympic bid, you know, across the five boroughs when we were trying to get it.
Ambivalent enough, at least in the political sector, that they didn't approve the West Side Stadium. So that was obviously a big black eye for New York in the eyes of the Olympic Committee. But paint the picture. What would have been going on here? Where would Phelps have won his 19th medal? In what swimming pool? Where would the gymnast have won the gold? Where would Ann Romney's horse be competing in dressage?
Well, to start with the last, she'd be competing on a landfill or a former landfill in Staten Island, Fresh Kills. Part of the Olympic plan was to span the area into New Jersey, by the way, just a little bit to the Meadowlands for soccer or football, as it's known in the Olympic world. There'd be basketball in Madison Square Garden.
It's MetLife Stadium to you.
Excuse me. Yes, indeed. There'd be gymnastics in the soon-to-be Nets Stadium, assuming arena, rather, if it would presumably
be
a little bit farther along than it is, but it should be completed relatively soon. The West Side Stadium, as you said, would not have existed. It was there until the 11th hour of the bid. Then it was defeated in the political process through various machinations in Albany.
Thank you, Sheldon Silver.
Yes, indeed. So that that was in the 11th hour to move to what would become the future Citi Field, or on the site of the former Shea Stadium. Now, baseball stadium isn't quite big enough. The plan they hatched would be to have a much larger stadium that would then contract. That's a model that London is using. Very few people need a stadium quite that big permanently. Pretty much no one does. So those are a few of the venues. There, Flushing in Queens. There would have been diving. There would have been swimming in on the Williamsburg waterfront.
And here's a clip of Mayor Bloomberg yesterday talking about this what-if scenario. Here's a little of what he said.
It would have been wonderful. We didn't get it, but we didn't go and cry. What we did is we built a very big percentage of the things that we would have built anyways if we had had the Olympics. We have two new stadiums. We have new housing. We have better infrastructure. And we're working on a lot of things that we would have used the Olympics as a catalyst to raise money and build. The only thing we're not having is the Olympics here.
Thank you, Mayor Bloomberg. So, Fred Mogul, did we really go and build a big percentage of the things we would have built anyway, as the mayor said?
Well, that was always the model from the get-go, dating back into the 90s, in fact, when the plan was just sort of gestating under the Dan Doctoroff wasn't even involved in city government yet. He presented
former deputy mayor,
deputy mayor for the Olympics, as we called him at one point in an Andrea Bernstein package. He presented something to Mayor Giuliani. It was all hatched in a way to leverage the Olympics, to get the Olympics into the city, to do a lot of things that he and others felt the city needed to do anyway, redevelop various areas along the waterfront, various industrial areas. And the bid, they said, win or lose, whether the International Olympic Committee gives us this or not, we will build most of these things. Has that happened? It's happened in some cases. There have been big rezoning things that will take years and years, if not decades, to build out on the far west side, even though the Olympic Stadium wasn't there, wasn't even to be in the plan, was yanked out of the plan at the end. In Queens, in Long Island City along the East River, opposite the UN, was to be the Olympic Village. That's now to be a mixed-income housing complex. A few dribs and drabs have gone up there. Again, will take a long time to build out. Various facilities are and are not there. The two stadiums, the Yankee and Met stadiums, would they have happened without the Olympic bid? I think there's a decent chance they would have. But the timing, who's to say?
WNYC's Fred Mogul imagining what New York would be like today if we had, in fact, won the 2012 Summer Olympic bid. What do you think, folks? Are you having Olympics envy, or are you breathing a sigh of relief as you watch what's going on in London right now? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Pete in Midtown, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, guys. I listen to you all the time. I'm a oil burner mechanic. I've been serviced in Manhattan for 30-some-odd years, so I do a lot of driving. I think it would be an honor to have it in the city. I mean, you know, I don't see why people will complain about the traffic. I think the only people who complain about the traffic are the people who shouldn't be driving the city anyway. I mean, the people who are driving one cars just to go around, you know, stores or whatever. But I don't see any problem. I think it's an honor, and I think it would have been great if we had it in New York.
Pete, what sport would you have been most anxious to try to get a ticket to?
Wow, that's a good one. I like the archery. The swimming is pretty good. But I think I'm not sure. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
Pete, thanks. Call us again, all right? Thanks a lot for checking in.
All right, thank you.
Steve in Santa Monica. You're on WNYC. Former New Yorker. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I think it is nothing but a blessing in disguise that New York City did not get the Olympics, because really all it is a massive boondoggle for real estate developers. And in the end, the city would have been left with venues that they don't use and couldn't pay for. And that's evidenced by, look at Athens, prime example number one. It's a broke country. I'm not saying that the Olympics created the problem in Athens, obviously, but it is, they obviously can't afford anything they have. And what did New York City absolutely did not need the Olympics. It would have been left with all these venues that are useless.
Steve, thank you very much. What about Athens as a model, Fred? You know, we've all heard about the problems in Athens. Does that happen city after city after city, or sometimes good, sometimes bad?
It's mixed, obviously. And Athens is exhibit A for a country that got in over its head, as the Greeks obviously have in various realms of their economy. People point to Barcelona as a very good example of a city that really used its development well, has had a reasonable afterlife for the majority of the venues and the infrastructure that they put together. So it's very tough to say as you go around.
So we had that former New Yorker calling in. With us now from London is another former New Yorker, Nuala McGovern, to talk about what it's really like on the ground there if Londons are coming together around the Olympics or tearing their hair out. She's one of the presenters for the new BBC World Service show called Newsday, and as some of you know, she was the executive producer of this program for many years. Hello, Nuala, from New York.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great. And how's it going so far for your adopted city? What's the ratio?
My adopted city? Well, who knew when we came in that night? Do you remember the night when they were announcing the bid? Who got it? Who thought that I'd be in London when the Olympics actually happened? But here I am and have been watching it, I have to say, with I guess, an awful lot of interest, because it's been this story that has changed over the past few months, and even, I suppose, the few years that I'm here. It was kind of well underway by the time I moved here, but which is about 3 years ago now, if you can believe that. But I think there was a lot of grumbling, and the grumbling was similar to, I suppose, what New Yorkers might grumble about. You know, there was kind of this split between the two of those that were excited by the fact world-class athletes were coming, and the others worried about the cost, the transportation, the security. In some ways, it kind of reminded me of the debates we had about Prospect Heights and the Brooklyn Nets stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those were kind of similar arguments that were put out about it. And then in the run-up, let's say going back about a month ago, when I say it rained, there was torrential rain, which did not help Londoners' spirits in the run-up to these games.
So now that it's actually going on, what would you say is the ratio of excitement to complaining?
I think it has flipped. Now, this is anecdotal. This is not scientific, if you know those words. And I would say it is probably more like a 70-30 now. And I think what happened, one thing that was defining, one, the sun came out, but two, they had the torch relay that went all through the United Kingdom. And millions of people came out to see it. It was quite a thing to behold. And they were local people, inspirational people, maybe that had, you know, overcome some adversity in their lives. And just people thronged the streets all over the country. And myself, I also got on my bicycle one day to go up and see it. And I think that kind of brought a little bit of the Olympics to people. Having said that, there were still issues over security. You may have heard about that, G4S, that they didn't have enough security in place. Ticketing, that was a big one, and I'm sure that would have been the same in New York. You know, so many people who wanted tickets couldn't get them, and then we were seeing empty seats in the first few days on television, so that didn't go down well. But it is a beautiful showcase for London. I mean, when you see, like, they have beach volleyball outside the Horse Guards Parade, which would be the same of, I don't know, making Times Square into a giant beach and having people sitting all around it. So things like that are pretty amazing.
I'm curious to get your take as to whether this moment, which was replayed and replayed in the United States, helped transform Londoners' attitude toward the games. This is your mayor, Boris Johnson, just before the opening.
There are some people who are coming from around the world who don't yet know about all the preparations we've done to get London ready in the last 7 years. I hear there's a guy called Mitt Romney who wants to know whether we're ready. He wants to know whether we're ready. Are we ready? Are we ready? Yes, we are. The venues are ready. The stadium is ready. The Aquatic Centre is ready. The velodrome is ready. The security is ready. The police are ready. The transport system is ready. Team GB athletes are ready, aren't they?
Wow. Now, Nuala, leaving aside the fact that Mitt Romney may have been right about the shortcomings that he was pointing out, did the fact that London then had Romney to push back against actually rally more of the people? Or was that bigger news here than it was there?
No, it was huge news here. And I'm telling you, I kind of thought about this. I think maybe it's okay if we grumble about our own city, but we don't want people who aren't from here grumbling about it. Perhaps that's it.
Like, and indeed, everybody.
Yeah, right. And I think, no, it was headlines. Mitt Romney, you know, they had called it various, gaffes or whatever you want to put it. And also the fact that he then had to backpedal using every Olympic analogy that you can to describe as the day went on, Mitt Romney trying to further himself from those comments. But I think so. I think, you know, it's like you're saying we're not ready. Hang on, we're ready, so you can't come in here and tell us how we are going to do these games. And I think, you know, these games are, you're playing a little bit of Mayor Michael Bloomberg there, they really are about the mayors as well. You know, this is a chance for them to shine, for them to really, you know, showcase their city, show what they can do. So Boris Johnson, love him or hate him, or Bojo, as he's known here, it's definitely his moment in the sun.
Fred Mogul?
Nuala, I wonder if you can tell us, there's some reports that once you get sort of outside the Olympic corridor, that the overall net effect, there's a lot of tourism is down. The theaters are less packed. The retailers are grumbling, to use that word, in a slightly different sense that people are just – that other people are just staying away, both Londoners themselves and other people who would have been coming, you know, as our equivalent to William Shakespeare. Yogi Berra said, no one goes there. It's way too crowded. Are other people staying away?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, they have been – you've never seen such a campaign for transportation about telling people where to go and where not to go and what stations to avoid, etc. But I think the message may have got across too much. I've had the quietest commutes I've ever had in this city. You can fly through, you know, traffic, etc. Taxi drivers were upset because there were Zill lanes, as they were calling them, referring like the previous Soviet Union, but lanes that were only for people connected to the Olympic Games, you know, officials, etc. So the first few days, there was grumblings about that, about not being able to use these lanes. But honestly, it seems to be quieter. Now, they are saying today that traffic is beginning to come back a little bit, but this morning on the news, they were saying at King's Cross, which is one of the main train stations here, that footfall, pedestrian traffic was much lower. The taxi drivers weren't getting half as much business. They're saying the same in the shops. And I mean, it's just anecdotal at this point, and Boris Johnson just said you can't judge these things until after the games. But it feels quieter. Now, it's July. It's the end of July, beginning of August. This is the typical time that people would go abroad on holiday or away on holiday. And I think the fact, probably coupled with such terrible weather for the first part of July, might mean that there are just less people here anyway, yes, and the tourists that are here are trying to get close to the action.
London closes down even more than New York does in August. I guess, Nuala, we can say from experience, certainly you can, that it's an international tactic used by mayors to try to keep traffic light when big events are going on in their towns to really, really scare the dickens out of the drivers. Do you remember when you and I were together in Boston at the 2004 Democratic convention and the Big Dig was going on at the same time, and the mayor there said, people, this is going to be hell on wheels. Do not drive your car downtown. And then we were all scared about being able to get from our hotel to the convention center, and it was empty on the roads.
There were tumbleweeds going by us as we walked.
In
that
Boston.
Came to my mind this morning. That is a good way. It's not as quiet as Boston in that particular instance, but definitely it seems to be lighter, you know. And London, let me tell you, it is a congested city. It is more congested on the sidewalks than New York, I think. I'm not sure why that is.
In
you know,
general, it's just... Yes, I've heard that from a lot of people, that London is more crowded in its feel than New York is.
It is. Maybe it's because it's not as vertical. I don't know. Maybe it's the way the transportation system is so spread out. The tubes are so small. They're from the Victorian era. So, you know what I mean? You can't really update that. It's all, quite specific in the way that it is. There's only a certain amount of people that it can actually hold. So, anyway, I think it worked. Having said that, I should say the area, I don't know whether you guys have seen it, perhaps you have from a distance. It is pretty amazing what they have done out of the East End of London. But you do have communities that are upset that they've been displaced, that they're being priced out, that these housing units that have been built, I think it's 5,000, that they will go up in price and that they won't be able to afford them. There's the whole question about the legacy that you and Fred were talking about a little bit earlier. What will these, you know, actual features be used for later? I think the Aquatic Centre has got a pretty good reception. The stadium, they're still trying to decide what will be done with it.
Before you go, give me one more word about the East End, an area of town that's usually preceded by the word gritty. And I think we see this in Olympic City after Olympic City, where they tear down poor people's homes to make space for the Olympic venues. And I wonder if you think, if you get the impression so far that in the East End of London, because of investment in that area that's Olympics related, that there will be sustainable revitalization.
Well, it's quite interesting. I've actually spent quite a bit of time down there over the past couple of weeks. I was out on the streets of Hackney, which is one of the neighborhoods. Spoke to a couple of young kids that were so excited. I mean, even the most skeptical, cynical person, they were like, do you understand the Olympics? Everybody hates this part of our town, and we only hear bad things about it. Yet the Olympics is here. Do you understand that? You know, they're like 15, 16-year-old school kids. So that was lovely and obviously very excited. I also did another broadcast from New Spitalfields Market, which is this huge fruit and veg Greenwich Market, which, you know, EastEnders work there, have been there for years and years, mainly skepticism there, I think it's fair to say. But then last Friday, just before the opening ceremony, I presented from the Hare and Hounds pub in East London, right there. And I have to say, they had made the T-shirt 7 years ago, backing the bid. So much excitement, lots of the punters trickling in to see the ceremony go out. The real pride and hope that, in fact, this was going to help turn around their area, bring revitalization, bring jobs, you know, and there's debates about that. I could go into the figures, but nobody seems to be able to agree how many local people were actually employed. We've heard that in IKEA in Brooklyn, obviously, and, you know, whenever there are these regeneration projects. And so I don't know. I suppose, you know, we'll just have to wait a few years and see.
I guess so. People will have to keep the pressure on. All right. Nuala McGovern, co-host of the BBC World Service show called Newsday and former top producer of this program from 2001 to 2009. It's amazing how you've developed that accent in just 3 years.
Has gone back to be more Irish again, which makes absolutely no sense considering I'm living in London. But there you go.
Thanks for joining us, Nuala.
Lovely speaking to you guys.
All right. And Fred Mogul is still with us from our newsroom here. And let's just hear from a few more New Yorkers about whether you're happy, relieved that the Olympics aren't here, or whether you've got Olympics envy toward London, which beat us out for these games. Marlene in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I have no mixed feelings at all. I'm very, very happy it's in London. We would have been at the center of the Long Island City part of the games, and I think it was, as a gentleman said before, an opportunity for developers to potentially destroy a neighborhood. I mean, it seems that all of the things that were going to be built here were kind of temporary housing and would eventually go to lower-income housing. And I think that the neighborhood has become so built up in Long Island City that developers aren't considering the infrastructure at all. And this would have just contributed to that same situation where we have one train coming in and one train going out. Mm-hmm. And already it's become an impossibility for parking and for people that are living here in terms of the services,
Marlene,
schools and otherwise. And my husband and I go to London every year. And where they've built the Olympics and the way they've thought about it in London is a much more concentrated thought about how they've created it. And they've really put together a neighborhood that was in need of help. And I think that's great. I don't think that was the case for New York City.
Thank you very much. Marlene in Long Island City, just a few stops away on the N train. Jose in Astoria, you're at WNYC. Hi, Jose.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I kind of disagree with the last caller. I live in Astoria, and I'm also a member of the community board number one in Astoria. And we had the plans presented to our community board. And I thought it was really exciting. I really liked the idea of renovating the Astoria pool, which gets a lot of use from the community. That was going to be site of the Olympic swimming. And the housing was also exciting. I mean, they were also going to build part of it in Long Island City, but they're also going to do some of the temporary housing in the Bronx. So I thought it was a net win.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people that don't want the Olympics, there's talk now of the 2024 Olympics being in New York. So be ready for either pro and con.
Jose, thank you very much. Well, Fred Mogul, I guess judging from the little sampling that we've had of callers, New Yorkers would have been divided about this, like about any big thing that would have been a development project in the city.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy on both sides. There are people, of course, who are concerned about the fate of their neighborhood. Marlene, we heard, was concerned about, I think she mentioned, low-income housing. It was to have been mixed-income housing. I mean, some people would take that the other way. They'd be concerned, frankly, about more yuppie towers and things, which have been springing up in Long Island City.
Indeed.
And more are slated to.
WNYC's Fred Mogul, he's been looking into what New York would be like today if we had won that bid for these summer games. Fred, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. Ever wonder who's on Rikers Island? Well, many are people only charged with misdemeanors. They're behind bars because they can't afford bail. We will meet Robin Steinberg from the Bronx Freedom Fund. They help pay bail when defendants can't afford it. And this is new. Governor Cuomo just signed a law to enable them to do this. So stay with us.